Anybody else? Well, I'd like to call your attention to some scripture. If you would like to read with me, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I have several verses that I need to read today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only am Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." And that's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the first 18 verses for a scripture reading. Now, I don't know how this will go today, honestly. All I know is that I want to try to share with you this morning the thoughts that the Lord placed upon my heart. And what I would like to speak to you about today, and I'm just going to use one word for a title for the message this morning, and that is preaching. I want to speak to you today from the Scriptures concerning some things that I believe the Scriptures teach us about the subject of preaching. And you know, when I read especially, it seems, the epistles of Paul, Paul wrote in many of his epistles, he wrote things concerning his ministry. He wrote in several different places things that pertain to the ministry and things that pertain particularly to his ministry. And so that's what I would like to speak to you about today, preaching. And I certainly want to ask an interest in your prayers. I want to look, first of all, and I may or may not, however the Lord chooses to lead, I may or may not speak about all of the verses that I read before you here this morning. But I want us to look, first of all, at some of the things that the Apostle Paul said concerning his preaching in the latter part of the verses that I read. If we go back to verse 16, Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And I may today perhaps have some things to share concerning my own call to the ministry. I may or may not. I've done that here before. But I believe that I understand at least a little bit of what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. And so I want to begin today because I believe that we have a world around us today. Perhaps I should say there is a religious world that surrounds us today and is all around us today that I believe that they have missed many vital scriptural points about preaching, about what it's really for and who really should do it. And I know that when we look at the last chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, and we consider there the account given in the gospel of Matthew concerning the Great Commission, the Lord, before he, after he had resurrected, before he made his ascension back to heaven, he commissioned his church to take the gospel to all the world, to go and to preach the gospel to every creature, to those who would believe and be saved. He commissioned the church to baptize those people and to also teach them to observe all of the things that he had commanded. And so the Lord, before he left, he left that mission with them to go and to preach the gospel, to take it to everybody. And so, as I said, the Apostle Paul spoke about things concerning his ministry, and I want to begin today by just stating why that I do this. And I think most of you here already understand this and know this. But I want to speak today about why I do what I do, or why others, other brethren among our churches do what we do. Why do we preach? Why am I standing up here this morning? Why am I standing before you this morning to try, though I may struggle and usually do, to try to bring before you the things that God has sent me here to bring before you? What's the purpose of that? And the Apostle Paul said here in the verse that I read again there in verse 16, he spoke about his preaching being something that was done out of necessity. Paul said, God forbid that I should boast about this, or that I should glory, which means the same thing, that I should glory about this, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel of Christ. And so I believe this. I believe that this is scriptural. I'm going to hopefully be able to share today some scriptures with you as to why I make this statement, but I believe it to be scriptural that preaching, those who preach, those who pastor, or those who preach the gospel, this has always been true ever since the Lord established the church and left her in the world and has called men of the gospel, that those who preach the gospel ought to do so because they have been called by God for that task. Now, one thing that the Apostle Paul said, and I'm going to share a few verses of Scripture here today from 1 Corinthians, but one of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote, and you can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, he spoke about, generally speaking, he spoke about the type of men that God called to preach. And I believe it was in our winter Bible study this past Tuesday night that Brother Moran again made this point, which I'm sure you've heard made many times, but Brother Moran again enforced this point and made this point again, that God calls men to preach. Men, not women. He calls men to preach. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, he spoke some about, as I said, generally speaking, the type of men that God calls into the ministry. And here's what he said. He said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty," or I'm sorry, "how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." He didn't say that there never was any, but he said, generally speaking, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he goes on in the subsequent verse to that to explain that. He says in verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." And so we can see when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, we can see even as he walked there by the shores of Galilee, and he began to call men to preach. Jesus didn't say, "Well, I better look out. I better do some scouting, and I better go out and find me some men that are of great intelligence and men that are famous, men that are well known to everybody." But we see the example of that the Lord went and he called what? He called plain, ordinary, everyday men to go and to be with him and to preach his word. He called fishermen. He called tent makers. He called a tax collector. He called people that did everyday things and what we might consider them to be common folk, common people, and called them into the ministry. I'll tell you what, it doesn't make any difference, and I'm convinced about this, it doesn't make any difference what a man knows or doesn't know, because if we don't rely upon God, what we do know is not going to affect anybody anyway. I don't believe, and I do believe that we need to study, and I don't want it to be misunderstood. We need to study, and we need to try to learn everything that we can about God and about His Word, that we might be able to preach the things concerning the Scriptures, that we might be able, as Paul instructed Timothy when he said, "Preach the word." I mean, that's what we need to do, isn't it, brethren? We need to preach the word. And in order to preach the word, we've got to have knowledge of the word. But listen, effective preaching, I don't believe ever has been based upon the great intellect of man. It's the Spirit of God empowering the preaching, I'm convinced, that makes it effective in the hearts and the lives of people. And the Apostle Paul believed that, didn't he? Sure he did. Let's look at some proof of that. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech," now listen to this, I love this verse, "and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, I'll tell you something that I believe about Paul, and of course, I didn't live in the days of Paul, and I didn't personally know Paul, so I can only speak from what I have read about him. But I'll tell you something that I do believe about him. I do believe that Paul was highly intellectual. I believe he was a very intelligent man. Paul had had great training there from the Jewish doctors, and he had had great scriptural training. And I believe that if Paul would have desired, if he would have been the type of person that would have desired to stand up before people and try to baffle them with brilliance, Paul would have probably been a pretty good one to do that. But he didn't have any desire to do that, and he wrote to the Corinthian church and reminded them of what his preaching had been like when he did preach among them, and who the subject of his preaching was. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul didn't want to, he didn't want to preach before the people all those idols that he had seen those people there in Athens worshiping, did he? When he passed by and beheld their devotions and all these different altars and all these inscriptions, I believe that he was there, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was there shortly before going to Corinth and preaching there. But he didn't want to declare unto them all of these different gods. Paul said, "When I came and preached to you, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And folks, I'm going to tell you something today on a personal note. If you're waiting for any reason at all, if you're waiting to hear anything other from me, anything other than salvation by the grace of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you might as well get ready for a long wait. Amen. I believe that he's the one today that we still need to preach. So Paul said, I was determined not to know anything among you people, not to preach anything to you other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I came preaching unto you, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with brilliant words. I didn't come to try to display before you, this great speech and great vocabulary. I just came plainly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, why? Why did he do that? Well, he tells them why in verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Isn't that where it ought to be today? Our faith today doesn't need to stand in the wisdom of men. I'll tell you what. Listen, there are people in the world today, many people in the world today, they are following some man as fast as they can go, and they're headed right to the same place he is, which is the wrong place. I would to God that God would help me, that whenever I have the opportunity to stand before a group of people and try to preach God's word, that when I'm done, that there might be something that would remain with them about God, about the Lord, about Jesus Christ, and about his cause, and about what he did. The people there in Corinth, they became guilty, obviously, of placing too much stock in the preachers. They obviously they become guilty of even to some degree anyway of preacher worship, because Paul said, you're saying, you know, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Barnabas and all, whoever it was that he mentioned there. But he asked the question, was Paul crucified for you? Well, he wasn't, was he? The only one that has made that sacrifice for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he today is the only one that can save a person, and he alone is the one that ought to be exalted when we preach the gospel. Amen. That we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And according to what we find in the fourth chapter of Acts, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brethren, let's preach the Lord Jesus. Let's preach him. Church, let's exalt the name of the Lord. He was the one that was crucified for us. He was the one that made a way for us to be saved. So Paul wasn't interested in their faith standing or resting in the wisdom of men, but rather in the great Spirit and the power of God. I never got finished with the thought that I wanted to share with you. But Paul said that necessity had been laid upon him. I want to tell you today why I preach. You know, and I've shared some of this with you before, but I was saved for about 8 years before I began to preach. And, you know, there was never in that time, and I know a lot of brethren, you know, were saved a lot longer before they started to preach. Some have been saved a lot shorter time before they started to preach. But regardless of that, in those years that I was a child of God, before I began to preach the gospel, there was never a time when I went to the Lord and I prayed before God about many things. But I can tell you honestly today, there was never one time when I approached the throne of grace and said, Lord, please call me to preach. Not one time did I ever do that. But one day, and I was 26 years old. One day there, I was working in Indianapolis. I was a young husband. I was a young father. And I had a job, and I just thought everything was, I just thought my life was as normal as anybody else's. And one day there, standing on my job, my job was to package telephones when they came down the conveyor. They built them on the assembly line, and then they came down to us. And my job was to package those telephones. And one day, standing there, and I was just struggling spiritually. My spirit was just, it seemed like, in an uproar. I knew that there was something that was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And standing there, doing my job one evening, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he made it very plain to me that I was to preach the gospel. You know, when we have someone that wants to come before our church, and God forbid that we would ever abandon this practice, but when we have someone that comes before our church and they want to be a member of the church here at Fairview Memorial, what is it that we do every time? I mean, without fail, what do? We require of that person that they be able to relate in their own words, in their own thoughts, that they can relate before us an experience of the time that God saved their soul. Amen. Amen. And you know what? I believe that everybody among us, every man among us that will be recognized as a preacher has to be required to be able to relate a time when God called him into the ministry. And if he doesn't have that, then he shouldn't preach. And he's crazy if he wants to. And I don't mean that, well, you'll just have to take it at that, I guess. But there are people today, many people, and there have been for many years, they just decide, boy, the ministry, now that's the way to go. That's what I'm going to choose. That's what I'm going to seek after. I'm going to call myself. I'm going to choose myself to be a minister. But the Apostle Paul wrote in these verses that we read there, he said that he had been called to be an apostle. He spoke to them about the calling, how that there were not many wise men after the flesh, or not many mighty, or not many noble that were called. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, doing what? Putting me into the ministry. I preach today because of that night there in the early spring of 1981 in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Western Electric, doing my job, God called me into the ministry. And you know, when he did, He didn't ask me what I thought about it, just to be honest with you. God didn't call me and says, now, do you think that might be something you're interested in? Or how about it? You know, would you mind? God called me to preach, and he made it plain to me that that's what he expected me to do. Now, I tried to get out of it. Oh, my gosh, surely a man wouldn't do that, would he? I tried to get out of it, but God wouldn't let me go. I mean, he just would not. It was on my mind. I've told you before, I'm glad I had a good wife because I about drove her crazy. I mean, I tried to get out of it, and I was just a mess. And I'll tell you what, I find this funny when I look back on it now, but it didn't seem to be too funny at the time. But I got this big plan one day that I was going to shake this thing, that I was going to get past this, that I wasn't going to have to do this that God had asked me to do. So my wife and I, we owned our first house. We lived out in the country, and I was coming home from work one day about 4 o'clock in the evening, and it was a sunny day. And I every day when I came home, I passed this, went over this bridge where I went over this little creek. And one day I came across that creek coming home from work, and I saw a man sitting out there fishing. And boy, I got this big idea. So you know what I'll do? I'll go home and get my fishing pole, and I'll go out there and I'll join him, and I'll strike up a conversation with him, and I'll sit there and fish with him, and I'll talk to him, and I'll soon get over this thing. Well, it didn't work. I went out there, and I got next to him on that bridge. He was sitting on the bridge dangling his legs, and I sat down right next to him, and I threw my fishing pole out, and I looked over, and I began to talk to that man, and I got about 2 words out and just busted out crying right in his face. I mean, I was a mess. I couldn't get out of it. Couldn't get out of it. I'm telling you, necessity is laid upon me. I preach the gospel because that's what God called me to do. And listen, whatever it is that the Lord has for you to do, you may as well just, as the Lord said to the words that he spoke in Jeremiah, whatever God has called you to do, if he's called you into the ministry, you may as well gird up your loins and get ready to do it, or you're going to pay the price if you don't. You're going to suffer the consequences if you don't. The Apostle Paul here, and I want to speak about this. This is something that probably doesn't get preached a whole lot in our churches. The Apostle Paul spoke here about in the first part of this these verses that I read, he was talking about the monetary support of the ministry. And I'm just going to ask this question today. Is that right? Is it right that the preacher be compensated? Well, you know, I think any question like that, the best way to settle any issue is by the scriptures. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. That's what he was asking in these verses. He said, or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the things, eateth not of the milk of the flock? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. And he concluded it by saying, they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So is it right? Yes. Why? Because it's scriptural. But I'm going to say this today, that if that is the motivation of any man to preach the gospel, you better stay away from him. You better stay clear of him. There's a lot of men in the world today, and they've got great big crowds gathered. And you know, if they think I've slandered them today, they can come and take it up with me. That's just the way I feel about it. But they are standing before large crowds of people, and if you took away those large crowds and their large salary and put them somewhere with a little group of people to nurture them and cherish them and feed them the Word of God, they wouldn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. You know what I believe? I believe if you can pay a man to preach, you can pay him not to preach. That's exactly what I believe about it. Should we do it? Yes. Why? Because it's scriptural. But that better never be, you know, our motivation. And listen, among those that have truly been called by God to preach the gospel, I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is a motivation. I'm standing before you folks today, and I do from week to week, because God moved upon my heart several years ago and called me to preach. Called me to preach. And when he did that, it just took over my life. It claimed the attention of my life. That's what I became. All my hopes and what you might call dreams and aspirations of other things just seemed to kind of disappear. And God helped me to become content to just be a preacher and to be, I'll tell you, I don't think there's any way for anybody to have a better life. I don't think there's any way for anybody, whether it's preacher or whatever it is, I don't think there's any way for anybody to ever have a better life and to ever live a life worth living than to pass through this world, to pass through our short journey of time, fulfilling that God has for us to do. Amen? For all of us, Solomon said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's it. To honor the Lord, to reverence him with our lives, and to obey his every precept is the whole purpose of why you and I are here. If you've got any question at all why you're on earth, right there's your answer. You're here to honor God and to please God and to give your life for him, to live your life for the Lord. That's why we're here. That's the whole purpose of mankind. That's what God created man for. I mean, it's obvious when he created man and placed him there in the garden, he wanted man to dress and to keep and take care of what belonged to God. That was his purpose in all of that. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. I like what Paul said towards the end of his life. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Done that God wanted me to do. Those are the thoughts that I had to share with you today. I hope that maybe at least something has been said that's been helpful to somebody. Helpful to somebody in some way. If God will just continue to give me the strength, I want to preach until I can't breathe anymore. I want to preach until he's done with me. I'll tell you what, I told you already, I struggle with it. I believe we all do. But when I stand up and I begin to look at God's word and try to make an effort, and I feel the presence of the Lord near me, and I feel God helping me to try to preach, boy, in those moments, there's nowhere I'd rather be. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you're lost, that's my desire, to tell you about the Lord Jesus and to tell you what he has done for you and what he will do for you if you'll come to him, repent of your sins, and trust him. He'll save you with an everlasting salvation if you'll come to him. So, Brother Ronnie, I'd like for us to have a song. Let's stand and have a song, and I just encourage everybody to follow the Lord today and do what God would have you to do.